In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Perhaps no other petition of the Christian liturgy, certainly no other petition of the Lord's Prayer, has caused as much consternation as the one that goes, "Lead us not into temptation." It is among the questions simultaneously most feared by children's Sunday school teachers and by priests at the beds of dying men. Why does Jesus teach us to pray to his Father and to our Father, "Lead us not into temptation"? We are shocked by it because we rightly realize certainly God does not tempt us. As if we needed any confirmation of this, St. James says in his epistle, we'll get to it in our Bible study here in a couple months, St. James says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted, and he himself tempts no one." All the same, what are we to make out of this prayer? A clue might be in this morning's gospel reading, the traditional text for the first Sunday of Lent. St. Luke writes, "After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil." Again, he was so full of the Holy Spirit and led by that same Spirit into the desert. So God doesn't tempt us, but apparently he sometimes does lead us into temptation. In order to understand what's going on here, I think we need to get some basic points about temptation out on the table. First, temptation comes, its origin is from the devil. Scripture is clear that far. Second, temptation is almost always the perversion of something good. That is, temptation is almost always sinister because it's not obvious. The particulars of these three temptations we heard of the Lord this morning are useful here. Never is Jesus tempted by the devil to do something obviously wrong. He's rarely that blatant. Rather, Jesus is tempted to do relatively good things. Turn rocks into food. To rule the earth. To show his glory. On the surface, these aren't bad ideas for Jesus to do. In fact, they're quite possibly good. Yet Jesus' response, it shows what's at stake. Let's look just at the first temptation illustration. The devil tempts Jesus to turn stone into bread. Jesus has been fasting in the wilderness. St. Luke says he is famished. So the temptation is to end his fast and feed himself. Jesus' response, it illuminates much for us. "Man shall not live by bread alone." He's quoting Deuteronomy, which says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God." There is something more important than putting food in our stomachs. Just as when an athlete adds weight to the bar so that he can extend his abilities, God allows weight to be added to the bar in our spiritual lives so that we might know our limits and then see them extended. God allowing temptation into our lives like he did with Job is God sending us into the gym. That's what's happening here with Jesus. The Father has let this first time after his baptism be a time of temptation so that Jesus would be stronger for what lies ahead. One theologian has a helpful way of expanding upon "lead us not into temptation." He writes that when we pray it, we are saying to God, "I know that I need trials so that my nature can be purified. When you decide to send me these trials, when you give evil some room to maneuver, then please remember my strength only goes so far. Don't overestimate my capacity. Don't set too wide the boundaries within which I may be tempted. And be close to me with your protecting hand when it all becomes too much. Again, when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we are saying to God, I know I need to work so that I can be strong for the ministry you've given all your people in the world. But when you decide to give evil that space to do work, then please remember my strength only goes so far. Don't overestimate how much I can lift right now. Don't set too wide those boundaries. And be close to me. One benefit of increased temptation is how it leads many to build a stronger lifeline with God as we wander in the desert. Some will make use of the church's ministry of confession. Others will add a weekday service. Some will engage for the first time in one of our Bible reading ministries. Others will commit to service to the poor. This aspect of Lent, the taking something on, it complements the giving something up. It can provide the strength as the new temptations set in. Because in the fasting, that is in the giving up of something, we allow God to lead us into greater temptation for the sake of our own growth. But then when we take something on, we join in that next phrase of the Lord's Prayer, but deliver us from evil. Ultimately, I think the dialogue goes something like this: Father, we know we must be tempted in the desert so that we can be stronger in what lies ahead. But we are not as strong as we would like, even now. So we come to the opportunities you have given us, so that you might deliver us from evil. Through temptation, we learn the truth about who we are, about our limits, and about our need for a Savior. We learn that we are far from as capable as we think we might be. We learn that we cannot live by bread alone, but only by the love flowing from the words of God. We learn that we love God not merely for what He provides for us materially, but we love God for the way He is committed to us eternally. And so it is with Lent. In this Lenten season, we join with the fasting of Jesus by our own fasting, by giving up something for Lent. Then we add a little weight to our own bar. We do so not merely because it's good for us, but because we know that by such fasting, we will see greater temptations. It's funny how that always works out. But we will also grow closer to God. And in the end of it all, when we gather here in a couple of weeks, when the great festal shout of Easter returns, we shall be stronger for all these challenges. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.